Let's begin new parsha, parsha Shlach.
Are you serious,
Rabbi? Yeah. New parsha. Sefer what? What?
Angelina.
What did you say?
Angelina Julia is his daughter, John Valets.
Rabbi wants to learn.
No, we're talking about a chassid of Lubavitch.
What? Okay, let's learn. Parsha Shlach. Ready? Here we go. Parsha Shlach. Vaydaber Shlomo Shalemar. Shlach Luch Anoshim. Send for you Anoshim men. Viosuru. They should spy. Es Eretz Kanan. Asher Anino Yisin Livnei Yisrael. Ish Echad. Ish Echad. Look at this. We have repetition. One man. Lamate Avaisav Tishlachu. According to the tribe of their father, shall you send? Kol nosi vohem. We put a comma after the word kol. Kol means call. Each one that you do send shall be a nosi. Now that is a lot. We'll explain this in more detail in a few moments. Okay, let's take a look over here at the Rashi. I'm putting you all on mute. Rashi says shlach lecha noshim lo nismucha parshas meraglim leparshas Miriam. Okay, the first thing Rashi wants to know is to understand why is this parsha the connection between parsha Shlach, the previous parsha, the last parsha, at the end of the parsha, parshas Bahaloscha was the story of Miriam. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, and she was smitten with Tsaras. And Hashem appeared to her and to Aaron and gave them Musar. How dare you speak Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu? So what is the connection of the Meraglim, the spies, to the story of Miriam? The answer is Lefi Shalaksa al Itzke Diba Shadiba Beachia Urishayim Halalu Lerahu Vlelaku Musa. It's a very scary idea, Rashi says. The people, the spies, they should have opened up their eyes to see the lesson. They did not learn a lesson. Everything that happens in this world, the purpose of what happens is for us to learn a lesson. They saw what happens when you speak Lashon Hara. There is immediate punishment. How then can these smart, clever people go to Eretz Yisrael and come back and speak Lashon Hara and say that the land is no good? The gift that Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael is no good. Therefore, the way Rashi phrases this expression is Roshoyim Halalu, these wicked people, they saw and they did not take a lesson. They did not learn any Musar from this event. Okay, so Hashem, it appears that according to Rashi, Hashem was trying to do them a favor. Hashem was trying to help them and Hashem knew what was coming. Hashem knew the future. He knew they would have the Nisoyin. They would have this very great Nisoyin of the Meraglim, of speaking Lashon Hara. And Hashem wanted to show them what happens when you speak Lashon Hara. And they unfortunately did not get the message. Okay, now let's take a look over here at the next Rashi. Shlach Lecha.
That would mean that chronologically, the Meraglim are after the
absolutely
event of Miriam.
Absolutely. I mean that's also according to the Pesukim. The previous parasha, Bahaloscha, as Miriam, and now comes the Meraglim. Yes, of course.
So yeah, but I never knew when Miriam's action took
okay,
place.
Okay, so you're saying generally, in Mukhtam Mu'ukha Batar, that generally there is no rule, that just because things are positioned in the parasha in a certain order, it does not mean anything. Because the things are arranged in the Torah according to the way the Torah, for whatever reason, the Torah decides how it wants things to be arranged, but it's not necessarily in chronological order. That is absolutely correct. It would appear, though, that in this case is the exception. The fact that the two are juxtaposed, Rashi is telling us that they weren't in chronological order, and in fact they happened in rapid succession. Immediately after the story of Miriam, the people approached Moshe, they wanted to send spies, and Moshe said, yes, fine, go. And it was fresh in their minds what happened to Miriam for speaking Lashon Hara. And that should have been for them an inspiration. It should have been a limud ha-musar not to repeat the same mistake again. And they unfortunately did not get the message. And that only makes their sin even greater. Hashem was trying to help them. was trying to teach them something, put something in front of their eyes to learn a lesson from, to protect them from what's coming next. And unfortunately, these wicked people, they chose not to learn the lesson. Shlach lecha, ledatcha, it's the famous Rashi. What's the word lecha? Lecha means, Moshe, if you want to do it, do it. Ani, eini mitzaveh lecha. I am not giving you a command. I am not telling you that you should send spies to examine, to explore the land. Im tirtze, if you want, shlach. But it's not coming from me. Lefi Shabohu Yisrael Yamu. What was this? What is the background to this story? So Rashi explains, Shabohu Yisrael Yamu. The Jewish people came to Moshe and they said, Nish lecha, noshim lefaneinu. We want to send spies. Rashi over here is quoting the pasuk from Devarim. In other words, and that this is a very important point in and of itself, that a good chunk of this story is not presented here in Parashat Shalach. A nice, significant chunk of the story is presented in Chumash Devarim. And that's very interesting. It's very interesting why the Torah here in Parashat Shalach leaves out many details, and most of the details are filled in Parashat Devarim. Okay, because we know Parashas Devarim is this Musar, and there is repetition. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking there from his perspective, not from the perspective of Hashem. But we have the right and the obligation to go to Parashas Devarim and extract the information there, and come back over here and learn what exactly happened. In any event, the people came to Moshe. They said, "Nishloch Hanashim Lefaneinu. We want to send a reconnaissance team." Kamosh Nemar. Vatikrivun Eli Kulchem, all of you came to me. Moshe did not know what to do. Moshe Nimlach Bashchina. Moshe went to ask Hashem, is it correct for me to listen to them and send spies? Omar, Hashem said to Moshe, Ani Amarti Lohem Shehi Toiva. I told the people it's a good land. They should trust me. Shenemar Ale Eschem Me'oni Mitzrayim. They quotes the beginning of the Pasuk. I told them I will take them out of the poor land of Egypt and bring them to a blessed land. And the pasuk goes on there to describe all the brachas. Chayehem, I promise you, shani noisin lohem mokem litois, kama. And what did they do? What did they do? They did not have faith in Hashem. They wanted to see the land by themselves. And therefore Hashem in response says, Chayehem, I now swear by your lives, shani noisin lechem mokem litois, v'divrei hamaraglim, that because they did not have faith in me and they wanted to send spies on their own, this will be a stumbling block for them. They will make a mistake. The meraglim will come back. The meraglim will issue a slanderous report, and the people will believe them. Leman lo yirashua, so that the people in this generation will not inherit the land, because they do not deserve to inherit the land, being that they did not have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so this is a very powerful Rashi. This Rashi is also very powerful as far as Hashkafa is concerned, because many of us are under the assumption that everything in this world, we under this impression that everything is everything in this world is Hashem tells you what to do. There is nothing parous. Unfortunately, we have this impression that if you want to go buy a new suit, right? So you have a question: should I get this suit, the pinstripes, or the suit without the pinstripes? So you have to go to your Rosh Hashiva, and Rosh Hashiva is going to tell you Das Torah. Das Torah is to buy the suit without the pinstripes. Should I buy the Borsellino hat or should I buy this hat? So I have to go for Das Torah. I have to go ask my Rosh Hashiva, my Rebbe. Some people, so why didn't you go to your Rosh Hashiva? He's too busy, I can't get an appointment. So I have no choice. I have to guess what he would really want. But ideally, I should really go to him and ask him what he thinks. That's a foolish thing. There's no such thing like that. That's a naive way of looking at Yadus. Hashem gives man an opportunity to make his own decisions. It's a Beferish Rashi right here. Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, listen, I promised you a beautiful land, a land that's blessed with every bracha you can possibly want. There's no need for you to go and inspect and to send spies. But you don't believe me. If you don't believe me, then you're permitted. Shlach lecha. You can do in this world whatever you want. It's not osur. It's not forbidden. It's permitted. If you want to send spies, you can send spies. If you don't want to send spies, don't send spies. It's your discretion. This is not a question you ask the rabbi. You do whatever you want to do. Not everything in this world, every decision you make in this world is in Shulchan Aruch. It's not. That's what you see from this Rashi. Shlach lecha. It's not osur. It's permitted. Should you not have done this? It's not so clear. Rashi over here seems to indicate is that if you have faith in me, then it would not be necessary for you to do this. Obviously, you don't have faith. Okay, so do it. But if you're going to do it, don't get messed up. Don't ruin yourself. Unfortunately, the situation did not work out well for them. The Meraglim were not righteous people. They had an agenda from day one. They came back and they spun the story the way they wanted. They played upon the fear and the vulnerabilities of the people, and that led to a massive rebellion, which led to their death in the desert. But you can't say that they did an Avera by sending spies. Okay, now let's take a look over here at the Targum. The Targum says, Alf Amezim, Alil Hashem in Moshe Lememar. Hashem spoke in Moshe. Now, by the way, this is something which we never spoke about, but this is a general rule, general chiddush of the Targum, which many people don't even realize. You can go your whole life without knowing this. The Targum does not translate the word El the way the art scroll translates the word El. The most famous pasuk in the Torah. Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. How do you translate the word El in English? To. Hashem spoke to Moshe speaking. The Targum does not say that. The Targum says, Umalil Hashem im Moshe Lemeimar, which means Hashem spoke with. That's an awesome difference. If we translate the pasuk according to the art scroll, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, that means Hashem is the boss. I am the boss. Watch yourself. Know your place. Have respect. Hashem is in charge. I am speaking to you. You, Moshe, humble yourself before me. That's if we translate the word El to mean towards. But if we translate the word Im to mean with, so when Hashem now says to Moshe, Moshe, I want to speak to you. I want to speak with you. They sit down. There's no desk. It's interesting. Rahman al-Islam in the hospitals, I don't know if you know, you should never notice this, is that they have the doctor, like during surgery or there's certain parts of the hospital where the doctor, when he talks to patients, to the family of the patients, the room where he speaks to them does not have a desk. He speaks to them like around a conference table, a private table, and it's done by design. In his office, in the olden days, you go to a doctor. The doctor has a big. I remember when I was a child. Okay, you have a doctor in the examination room. He comes in to examine you, and then he tells you, "Okay, get dressed." And then you come into his office. Oh, you come into the office. There's a big, big desk, and behind the desk, all of these plaques, his license, his certificate, and pictures, and a big mahogany desk with a big chair. And he sits back and he reads you the results of your test and v'chul, and he tells you all this mussar, what you're doing wrong in your life. See, today, patients don't like that. Patients do not like to be intimidated by a doctor sitting behind a big, big desk with plaques and licenses behind the wall. And by design, they create conference rooms, especially in hospitals, where the doctor meets with you in a room where you sit around the table. And it does not give you the impression that the doctor is anything more special than you. You're the same. We're equal. It's a different approach to medicine. Okay, is it good or not good? Who says it's good? Look what's happening now with Black Lives Matter. Who says it's so good to have such rachmanis on the criminal? Who says? You should know your place. Okay, you know your place. Who says? I mean, today, I don't know if you noticed, today was the ultimate chutzpah. I mean, the last week when they had, it goes to show how far things go. Last week they burned police cars there was no one in the police car. The police car was just parked. And the Chayos Royce, they just burnt the police car. They destroyed the police car. Today, or was it yesterday, there were cops in the car and they tried to torch the car with the cops in the car. Okay, they smashed the windows and they threw things at the car and the windows were all smashed and there were two cops in the car. Okay, you give them a finger, they'll eat you up. You have to know, have authority, who's in charge. In this pasuk, it's fascinating. The Targum throughout Chumash always says, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not come to intimidate Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem spoke im together, buddy buddy. It's up to Moshe Rabbeinu to appreciate and to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the boss and Moshe is the student. Okay, next Targum Shlachcha Hashem. What's Shlachcha? This is very popular.
Just to say, I was just looking through a few times. I mean, about 8 or 9 times already. It said by Dabar Hashem or by Yomer Hashem. So many times
it leaves it out.
Many times it's El. What I see the difference is when he's telling him what he has to do in terms of the mitzvah, he says Le El.
When it says by Yomer, Vayomer doesn't have the in. When it says Vayomer,
actually it does sometimes, yeah? but it's when he's talking to him.
Interesting.
In terms of telling him a halacha,
okay.
He says L.
Okay.
When he's talking to him every time, I mean, the times that I see which one it says which and which one it doesn't say, when he has to discuss something with him, tell him what happened, it's in. He's telling him about something happened. When he tells him, this is what you're going to do, Yasula and Tzitzis, it says,
"Vayomer Hashem Limosh." Okay, so it's a book. I stand corrected.
You have to know. I'm telling you something. It's not a conversation.
Okay, so you have to really study. You have to really study this,
the
context and see. It's because the Targum. Rashi almost never comments. Rashi, come on, never ever makes such a comment describing the difference of why it would say the one way and the other way. It's a very interesting point.
I looked through about 5 parishes and I see that right away, that it's when he's telling him a mitzvah, it's lit. He's telling you this is what you have to do. There's no conversation. Yeah, this is it. But when he wants to tell him, he gets feedback, he says it.
Okay, very good. Now let's see the next pasuk. The next pasuk is a very popular targum, it appears. The next pasuk says pasuk of Beis, a very long pasuk. Shlach loch, okay, send for you, govern. Govern is men. Do we have a Rashi here? Did I skip a Rashi about Anoshim? No. That's later on. No, that's Pasuk Gimel. Okay, fine. Shlach loch govern. Anoshim, we translate as men. Now here, v'yosuru v'alilun. The Targum translates the word, the spy, as alilun. What is alilun? This is the word elul. Elul. We have 12 months. The month before Tishrei, the month before Rosh Hashanah, is called Chodesh Elul. Where does the word Elul come from? Many of the names of the months are Babylonian. They're not Jewish names. Each month has a story to itself. Where the name is derived, the name of the month. Some suggest, over here, there's a parish over here on the bottom of the art scroll, and he cites here a commentary who says that the name of Chodesh Elul comes from Aramaic. It's an Aramaic word, which basically means to spy or to inspect. To inspect the land of Canaan. What do we do in Chodesh Elul? We inspect our neshamos. We look into ourselves to see our deficiencies, to prepare for the Yom Hadin. And therefore, the appropriate name of the month could be nothing better than the Aramaic translation, which was a very common, at the time of Tanakh Chazal, people would speak fluently in Aramaic, that was their primary language, is Chodesh Elul. Elul is the Aramaic word for V'yosuru. And therefore, it doesn't mean to spy. We like to say, we think the Parsha Shlach is a James Bond movie. It's not a James Bond movie. It's the Asuru is to inspect. It means to look deeper. to look into the depth of the land. See, Moshe Rabbeinu, interesting, Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Targum, and now you appreciate Chodesh Elul, it really changes everything. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that if you look at Eretz Yisrael at face value, you're not going to see very much. And that's very true today also. Today, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, so what do you see? I mean, it's a beautiful land. Let's not make any mistake about it. It's a beautiful land. It's gorgeous. The weather is stunning almost the entire year. And it's just breathtaking. But yet, that doesn't do it. That's not enough for many of us to pick ourselves up and make aliyah, to sell your house, to quit your job, and just give everything up and go to Eretz Yisrael. It's very nice. It's a beautiful land. But you don't find the beauty totally overwhelms you. Look, people who live there the whole year, they run away to Switzerland, they run to America, they run to traveling and going on vacation. We have to go. You're living in the most beautiful place in the world. Obviously, Eretz Yisrael's beauty in the Gashmias, we're not chas v'shem diminishing the Gashmias, but you know, it's good, it's nice. But it's not gonna win the day. It's not gonna be the factor which is going to overwhelm you and change your hashkaf in life. What changes the hashkaf in life is when you uncover the spiritual essence of the land. The asur doesn't mean to spy or check out what's going here, what's going over there. The Targum used the word vi alilun, elul, which is what we use when we describe Chodesh Elul. What do you do in Chodesh Elul? You say slichos, you blow shofar, you make a cheshbon hanefesh. It's a whole different type of month in preparation for the Yom HaDin. And whatever we do in Chodesh Elul really is just a microcosm what a person really is doing to prepare for Achar Me'a Ve'eshrim, the Yom HaDin HaGadol, when a person returns his neshama to Hashem. And when you look at Elul in that frame of mind, you're not looking at Gashmias. You're not going looking, oh, do we have a nice shul? Is the Aron HaKodesh, does the Parochas, is it nice enough? Should we get a new Parochas this year? Should we get new chairs? Should we get paint the walls? That's not what it's about. It's to look into the spiritual component of your life, to see where you're holding and where you're going. That is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu told the Meraglim to look at. I'm sending you to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to go there. You'll be impressed, but you're not going to be wowed. You're not going to be overwhelmed with stunning beauty. You're not. It'll be very nice, very impressive, but the real beauty of the land is hidden. It's hidden in the spirituality that you can only gain when you live in the Eretz HaKodesh. That is the mission. That is the Asuru Es Eretz Kenan. Elul. Just like in Chodesh Elul, you're uncovering the spirituality in your life, making improvements. That's the goal, the mission in going into Eretz Yisrael. The Alalun. Yos Ara Dichnan, the land of Kenan. The Ano Yochev Levnei Yisrael, which I'm giving to the Jewish people. Gavrachad. Leshifta. Da'avoho, so he of the tribe of his father, of his fathers, Tishluchun. Now here is something very interesting. Kol Rabba Divhoin. Every great man Divhoin amongst them, which it seems Kol Asi, which seems to mean, it's not so clear how to translate this word, Kol Nasi. We have to really look at other commentators. Let me give you two translations, not from the Targum, and you figure out what is the Targum trying to say. The Ibn Ezra, he quotes over here the Ibn Ezra, who says the word to mean kol nasi bohem means, he put a comma, kol. Okay, kol means every one of them was a nasi. Now, it does not mean all of the Nisim went, because one of the big mysteries is that the people listed over here in Parashas Shalach are not the same people listed back in Parashas Nosai. That's one of the big mysteries. The names here are not the same. The name, we already went through the names of the Nisim already a few times, by the Masois and by the Degolim. We listed the heads of the tribes. And suddenly here, when we are selecting people to explore, to be spies, they're not the same people. They're different people. And not all of them. Some of them are different. Some of them are different. Not all of them are different, but some of them are different. So what's going on? What, they retired already? It's only the second year. You know, this happened in the second year when they left Mitzrayim. They set up the Masois. They're not even on the job for 6 months. Already you're fired? This is not a Trump administration. What's going on over here? How come all of the Nesiim suddenly are gone? What happened to them? Where did they disappear, some of them? So you'll answer, well, maybe some of them were just not fit, physically fit to make the journey to spy. You have to be, you know, you have to be a Navy SEAL to go on this mission to spy Eretz Yisrael, do reconnaissance. So if that's the case, that means they appointed new Nesiim. Okay, so maybe substitutes or a Sagan. In other words, according to the parish of the Ibn Ezra, and many Mepharshim learn like that, there were many Nesiim, many people who had the title of a Nasi, and each Nasi served different functions. For example, the Kohen Gadol. If you don't know it better, you would assume there's only one Kohen Gadol. But we know that's not true. We know there was the Kohen Moshuach Milchama. And the Kohen Moshuach Milchama was basically an equal to the Kohen Gadol. He wore the Shemoneh Begadim. And then there was the Skan Kohen Gadol, who also was an equal to the Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol had a cold, Erev Yom Kippur. So if you have a cold, you cannot go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He may have corona, the Kohen Gadol. He's not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He'll contaminate the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so he cannot go in. So they put a skan. Once the skan goes in, he remains the skan forever, even when the Kohen Gadol's position is restored. Even when the Kohen Gadol comes back, he resumes his The previous Kohen, the Skan remains with the status of the Kohen Gadol. So the truth is, there can be many Kohanim Gedolim functioning with that title at the same time. And they're all indeed called Kohanim Gedolim. Likewise, it's the same exact thing when it comes to a Nasi. That's a Chiddush. There were many Nesiim. The proof is because the names here in this parasha are not the same names as we learn in parashas Nasi and parashas Bamidbar. They all have the term Nasi. So when it says over here, kol Nasi vohem, it means call each one of the individuals who was sent on the mission to spy was a Nasi. You have to skip the word kol vohem. Every one of them that went on the mission was a Nasi. However, yeah.
I'd like to suggest that in Naso, each Nasi is introduced immediately. Nasi Livnei Menashe, Nasi Livnei Binyamin. Over here, the introduction is much different.
Correct.
It's Ish Echad, Ish Echad. So here, it's just...
It's a lower level Nasi, like a scan. It's not the same. Right. But the Chiddush is this...
But he's not the Nasi.
Right, the Chiddush is, but he's still getting the title Nasi. You can't deny the fact that the letters are Nun, Sin, Yud, Aleph. So you see that you can have the title Nasi. There are many people that can have the title Nasi. I remember when I was a kid, there was a person, they said, he is the first vice president of a certain big company, who like IBM, right? First vice president of IBM. So I thought, oh, wow, this guy, he's like, you know, the richest man in the world. He's the king of the world. And then I found out, in this company, they only have about 500 first vice presidents. Right? Everyone is a first vice president. Oh, big deal. So you just want one of like a million people. Like, big deal. That's really what it says over here. We have a Nasi. There are many people who have the title Nasi, but the truth is they have different functions. Okay, that's one shot. So one shot is kol Nasi vohem. You have to take the words and reorder them. Kol vohem Nasi. Every one of them that went on the mission, every one of them who went on the mission had the status of a Nasi, but it doesn't mean these were the only Nesiim. There were more Nesiim. However, other Mefarshim learn it's not Pshat in the Pasuk. They say an incredible Chiddush. Kol goes on Klal Yisrael. Every person who had the title in Klal Yisrael Nasi went on this mission. Oh, well, what about back in Parashas Nasoi and Bamidbar? They retired. You know why they retired? I don't know. They weren't fit. They couldn't make the trip. But you can only, the title Nasi was limited to only select people. You don't abuse, like the big problem today in America, in Brooklyn, everyone's a rabbi. Everyone's a rabbi, you know? If you went to yeshiva, if you went to kindergarten in the yeshiva, automatically you called a rabbi. Who made you a rabbi? How come everyone is a rabbi? You don't abuse the term. There were extremely select individuals who called a Nasi, and every single, if you ate up the 12 people, this is the totality of Nesiim in Klal Yisrael. Kol goes on, the subject of Kol is not going on the people who actually went, it's going on Klal Yisrael. Kol, no, Kol Nasi Vohem, this was the totality of princes in Klal Yisrael who went on the mission. So again, the choice of translation is, do we say Kol goes on all of these people who went, all of the people who went on the mission, they had the title Nasi Vohem. Amongst them, those people who went, they were called by the title Nasi. But it doesn't mean that there were no more Nasiim. There were plenty of more Nasiim who stayed home in the kitchen. Or does it mean Kol Nasi, it's like a term, the entire echelon, the entire category of princes that existed in Klal Yisrael was in this group. The totality of the title of this group of government in Klal Yisrael went on the mission. But what about the people in last week's parasha? They're not the same people. They were retired. They were not part, or they quit. Something happened to them. We do not know.
What's the difference? What's the nafkamina? How we decide this call goes?
The first nafkamina is what happened to the other Nisim. If we say that Kol Nasi means that the people who went on this mission, they were the only ones that had the title Nasi, how did you explain Parashas Nasoi and Parashas Bamidbar, where we have different names of Nisim? And that was only 6 months ago. So you have to say that those people retired, were stripped of their title Nasi. Because if you want to go, if you really, in order to maintain your position, you had to go on this trip. And if you did not want to go on this trip, you had to retire. You lose your pension. You had to quit. But if you say no, there were other people that had the term Nasi, then these select few went. There were other people. Now, after you take those two perushim, come back to the Targum, and now you try to appreciate what is the Targum trying to say. The Targum is always very delicate, but his words speak volume. Kol Rabba Divhoin. All of the great ones, Divhoin. What does that mean? He translates the word Nasi here as the Rabba. The Divhoin, the key word over here is of them. Of them. Which, as though it says, Kol Nasi, every prince. Kol Nasi Asher, he's in the word Asher Bohem. The Targum, the way, I'm not familiar with all the nuances, but the way the Ma'at Tzori, that's the name of a popular sefer on Targum, he seems to understand that the Targum is learning like the second approach. Kol Nasi, the entire echelon of princes, Vohem Divhoin. Divhoin was amongst this group. There was no one in Klal Yisrael that was a Nasi outside of this group. That's how the Ma'at Tzori seems to, you can, I don't know if that's the only, that everyone agrees with that, but this is, okay, let's go further. Pasuk Gimel.
Once, if we send somebody to go speak to President Trump, that person we send, no matter what his title is up until now, he's an ambassador.
Okay, but here's the problem. The problem is, let's say until now there was another person that had the title ambassador.
Fine.
That's the dilemma. That is the dilemma. Can you have more than one person with that title? Is it a bizoyon to the title?
But we see, and now in modern day, we see as soon as someone's given the mission,
yeah,
he takes the title.
So what happened to the old guy? What happened to the person that had the title before?
Hey, he has a title too for what he did.
See, it's not so simple. I once wrote a caption of Dr. Norman Lamb, okay? After already he was no longer the president. I wrote something, and his picture was in the article. And I had to write a caption. And I didn't know what to write. I didn't know his title. So I inquired by the experts, and they told me what you write is then president. He's not the president now. The president then was Richard Joel. The president of Yeshiva University is Richard Joel. The president. You can't call Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb the president, even though they call Obama, they call Mr. President. Okay, I don't know all the rules. There are certain rules, but in writing, you're talking current, and you want to refer to him. So, in the context of when this thing took place. Then president of Yeshiva University. Then president. There are certain conventions. I don't know the answer. There are certain conventions as to how you refer to people. And that exactly is the dilemma. Look, a company only has one CEO. Only one president. Okay? A first vice president. You could have 10 of them. Ambassador. You could have many ambassadors. So maybe it all depends on the talk. Let's go further. Moshe sent me midbar poron al pi Hashem. Kulam anoshim u'ul ra anoshim. Rashi v'nei Yisrael Hema, they were the heads of the Jewish people. Let's see, Rashi says, Kulam Anoshim, Shapos Gimel Al Pi Hashem, Birushusoi Shlo Ikev Al Yodaya. This goes back to what we said before, that Moshe Rabbeinu consulted with Hashem, and Hashem gave him explicit permission. Birushusoi Shlo Ikev Al Yodaya, Kulam Anoshim, Kol Anoshim, Shemekor Loshim Chashivas, Birur Anoshim connotes importance. V'oysosho Kishenim Hoyu, Rashi says at this moment in time they were kasherim. This is a little bit of a contradiction to the first Rashi in the parasha. The first Rashi says shadibra urishoyim halalu rohu v'loy lokhu musar. From that Rashi, you get a sense that they were wicked from the very very beginning. Isn't that the connotation you get? These evil men, they saw what happened to Miriam and they did not learn musar. Rashi over here is saying, no, that's not the pshat. At that moment in time, when they went, they were kasherim. Only later did they turn wicked. And then in hindsight, we blame them. Why did you not learn Musar from what happened to Miriam? Let's look at the Targum. Targum says, Ushalach Yosoy Moshe, Mimad Berod Dipron, Al Memor the Hashem, Hashem's Kamin, Kulam Guvrin. Here it is interesting. It could very well be that Rashi is coming to disagree with the Targum. This is the second time we have the word Ish. The second time. Or third time, Shlach Lecha Anoshim. Rashi in the beginning doesn't make any mention of the significance of the word Anoshim. The first time, Ish Echad. Here, when we come to the third time, Kulam Anoshim, Rashi wakes up and he says, Oh, Anoshim, Kol Anoshim, Shebemikro Lashon Chashivus, V'Oysa Shah Kashem Hayu. Does the Targum agree with that? The Targum says, Guvrin. Does the word guvrin, a gever, does that connote chashivos? I don't know. Let's see. Now we go to the names. Okay, we're going to skip the names because there's no Rashi. There's no Rashi, and the Targum just translates the names. Okay, so we're going to skip the names. Let's just go. We got to go through all the 12 Shvatim. And let's now go to Pasuk Tes Zayin. Okay, the last one was Tezvav was Lamate Gagul Ben Machi Tes Zayin. I'm certainly the Achidushim, there's no doubt. Listen, there's no doubt the Achidushim in the names. I'm not making up anything over here. And I'm sure you can find nuances in the Targum, but we don't have any Rashi. And the Targum is very straightforward. So let's try to go, just skip ahead. The Pasuk Tezayin. Tezayin, it says, Eile Shemois Hu Anoshim Asher Shlach Moshe Losur Esaretz. These are the names of the people which Moshe sent to Losur, is to inspect Esaretz. Vayikur Moshe Losur Benin Yoshua. There was one name change. Before, Moshe sent Yehoshua, he changed Hoshea, Benoni changed his name to Yehoshua. Rashi, Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea, Hispalel Olav, Ko Yoshiacha Me'atzas Miraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu obviously knew what was going on. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi is revealing over here an incredible insight. Moshe from day one knew that the Miraglim have an evil plan. So what was Moshe thinking? What then was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking to let them go if Moshe from day one knew that they are planning evil? It has to be that Moshe either had hope that when they would come to the holiness of the land, like birthright. How many people have gone birthright and never came back? They were so overwhelmed, right? People that are not shomrei Torah mitzvahs, they go there to show they're overwhelmed. Moshe, the same thing. The people over here, they're rotten apples. But when they'll go, Mistama, they'll come back with a good attitude. Just in case, Yehoshua insurance, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you should be spared from them no matter what. Vayikra Moshe, that also what's very fascinating is the word Vayikra, according to Rashi, has a connotation of prayer. Vayavo Hashem al ponov, Vayikra. And what do you say? Hashem, Hashem, kelrachum mechan, the yud, gimel, midas, sarachmim, this is the ikur koich ha-tfila. The ikur koich ha-tfila, the yud, gimel, midas, sarachmim, and it is introduced in Chumash with the word vayikra. And here we see the same thing. Here we see the word vayikra means prayer. He was mevakesh that Hashem, in his midah, the yud, gimel, midah, sarachamim, Hashem, shavrachmonos, upon Hoshea, he should not be influenced by their evil plot. And the way he did that was he changed his name from Hoshea to Yehoshua. He put Hashem's name in his name, ko, Yoshiacha shall spear you, me'atzas miraglim. Okay, let's take a look at the Targum. Targum says to Zayin Ilain Shemohos Guvraya di Shlach Moshe La Alola as Aretz Yos Ara di Ara Ukula Moshe La Shebar Nun Yoshua. Okay, so he's not really saying anything. He's not saying any chidushim here, at least on its first value. Another pasuk Yid Zayin Vayishlach Yisom Moshe La Suras Aretz Ken Elas Eretz Kenan Vayoyimer Lehem Aluze Banegev. Go up here in the south. Vaalisem Esohar. Okay, Rashi, Aluzeba Negev, Hu Hoya HaPesoyle Shel Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, he instructed the spies to go enter the land from the south. Why the south? The south is the portion of the land that's the least impressive. The least impressive when you go, the beauty of the land is in the north or the east. It's not in the south. So Moshe Rabbeinu is shekin derech hatagorim marines hapesoiles techila v'acharkach marines hasherach, because Moshe here is a tagor. This is a shocking Rashi. It's a shocking Rashi for Rashi to say that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was trying to sell them the land, Moshe is a used car salesman. You're not a used car salesman here. You're selling Klal, you're giving Klal Yisrael the Eretz HaKodesh. So, what's going on? When they appeal to you to go to Eretz Yisrael, okay, I was like, Tisha B'Av is coming up. When they're going to put up the big signs, come, go to our program, come to watch this video, go do this. Tell me, what do they put up? They put up the rocks in Eilat. They show you the pictures of the rocks in Eilat. Well, they show you the Kosel. They show you the Beis HaMikdash. When they want to appeal to your spirituality, they show you the Kodesh HaKodoshim. All of the posters that you're going to see in honor of Tisha B'Av, to come to Shul, to come to an event, to come to an Asifa, and they're going to have the graphic artist is going to come and charge this, these organizations an arm and a leg to come up with some beautiful design to appeal to our senses. They're not going to show you a rundown hotel in a lot. They're going to show you the Kosel. They're going to show you the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They're going to show you the Beis HaMikdash. All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu, He's a used car salesman. He's showing you the psoilus of the land. Go from the Negev, Alisim Asahar, and from there you go then you go up to the higher level. So Pella, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? Targum doesn't really say very much over here. Targum says Ushlach Pasig Yedzain, Ushlach Yasin Mashallah Lola, we have Pasik Yud Zain, Ushlach Yasin Mashallah Yasin Mashallah Lola Yas Ara Dichnan, Ramar Lahoin, Soku. Soku means to ascend. Da Bidroima, the Siskun, like a sick litude of the mountain. Now, by the way, one thing you can answer very simply, which explains why Moshe Rabbeinu did this, is there's something very unusual about the parasha. We're calling here the land of Eretz Yisrael Canaan. Why do we call it Canaan? It's our land. Why are we calling Eretz the land of Canaan? First of all, Canaan is only one of the seven nations. Some will answer you that Canaan is really a consolidation. The USSR, right? It was a federation of states, all under the leader state, the mother state of Canaan. But Chazal tells us the word Canaan means merchant, a merchant, a tagar. Canaan, it literally means, we refer to it as the nation of Canaan, but Israel, Eretz Yisrael, this location in ancient times was the center of commerce. This is where merchants would assemble to engage in commerce. It was called the land of merchants. And here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Shlach Lecha, the parasha begins Shlach Lecha Eretz Anoshim. The Hashem is saying, the Osuris Eretz Canaan. This is the answer to Rashi's question. Our question. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu behave like a used sales dealer? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu go and show them a picture of the Kotel HaMaariv, tell them to go to the best verse? It's because when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, the people who want to send spies, what should I do? Hashem told them something very important. If they want to go, let them go. But don't let them go with the attitude of we're going to the Kotel HaMaariv. We're going to take you on a tour of Maaret Machpelah. We're going to take you to Kever Rachel. If the people want to go, if that's what they want to do, they don't have emunah in me, they want to go, we have to understand the psychology. What's going on here? Hashem says, Hashem added, let them go, but let them go to the land Alt Midin Canaan. That it's a land of merchants. Canaan, we call it Canaan, not Eretz HaKodesh. Oh, Canaan. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to go, I'm going to get a tagar. I'm going to get a tagar also. I'm going to send them into the land like a merchant. And show in used car salesman, you start off with the Shvach HaSchayra, and then you get better and better. Okay, so time is up. Emir Tzashem will continue tomorrow.